Okay, today was Asar B'Teves, as we all know, and it was the day that Nebuchadnezzar laid siege around Jerusalem. And it was a siege that would last for 3 years. It was a very painful time in Jewish history, but I was thinking today, and Sfarim talk about this idea, that a siege actually has a very positive side to it. Because when an enemy tries to surround a people, and tries to hold them hostage, and tries to control their environment, the people of that city are forced to turn inward. I mean, if we're surrounded, then everyone who's inside has to work together. While that's not necessarily something that's always so simple, certainly in times of struggle or challenge or war. But in a certain sense, what Nebuchadnezzar was doing was forcing an achdus upon Klal Yisrael. The Jews would have to work together. We're surrounded. There's no way out of Yerushalayim. When we're trapped in, so then Jews have to work together. And part of what we think about on Asar B'Teves, and even if we didn't, we could still think about it, is this notion that Klal Yisrael, when the enemies are closing in on us, as much as their intention is evil to trap us within, but that turn inward, drawing Jews together, is a very important part of the healing. When Jews are able to work together, able to reconcile our differences, that brings about the salvation itself. So I want to talk about something which is the very opposite of what the enemies tried to do to us on Asar B'Teves, to trap us inward, to pull us together, to turn us towards one another. I want to talk about a midah in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, as tonight we continue our series on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And I want to talk about an aspect of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro that becomes very much the opposite of achdus, the opposite of working together, the opposite of binding together, but something which can pull us apart in a very, very painful way. And I want to tie it into the parsha, last week's parsha and this week's parsha, as Yosef reconciles and reveals himself to the brothers. We know that when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, their number one concern, after they can finally open their mouths and speak, is that Yosef's going to take revenge. That Yosef, how could he not? 22 years of suffering, revenge for himself, revenge for his father, right? Revenge just for what's right. And when Yosef reveals himself and says, Ani Yosef, the brothers have yet to respond, he looks at their faces, and Yosef says to them, relax, calm down. Va'ata, this is last week's parsha, va'ata al te'atzvu, don't be nervous, don't be sad, va'al yichar be'einechem ki machartem osihenan, don't be upset that you sold me here. Why? Look what Yosef says, amazing. Ki lemichya shalachani elokim lefneichem. Because to sustain you and to sustain the whole world, I was sent not by you. You didn't send me to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me to Mitzrayim. Ki lemichya shalachani elokim lefneichem. Hashem has sent me before you, and therefore you don't have to feel bad. You didn't do this. You were not the ones who orchestrated this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the entire thing. Again, Yosef says to them, just a couple of psukim later, Va'ata lo atem shalachtem osi heina ki elokim. You didn't send me here. Hashem sent me here. I apologize, there's no source sheet tonight. I was hoping to have one, but it's been a hectic week. Baruch Hashem, our daughter turned 12 this week. We're making a bat mitzvah party this Motzei Shabbos, so it's been a hectic week. But I'll share the Maariv Makomos afterwards with anyone who wants. I apologize. So Yosef says to them, "V'atol lo atem shalachtem, osi hinei ki elokim." You didn't send me here. Right? You're not the one who sent us here. Hashem sent me here. And Hashem placed me as a support for Sapparo, ladon l'chol beisu, Moshe v'chol aretz Mitzrayim. This is all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. The Sheim Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sokotchev, used to say that a Jew has to say this pasuk every day. A Jew has to wake up in the morning, maybe right after Moda Ani, and say, Va'ata lo atem shalachtem osi, heina ki elokim. You're not the one who sent me here. My family didn't send me here. My boss didn't send me here. My parents didn't send me here. No one sent me anywhere in life except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's controlling the situation, then there's no reason to take revenge. The brothers are so nervous. Yosef's going to strike back at us. Yosef says, this wasn't you. I understand that. I have the spiritual maturity. You're not in charge here. This is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan that I would end up here. And therefore the Sheim Yishmuel says a Jew has to say this pasuk all the time. You're not the one. Whoever put you in a difficult situation, to say, whether to the person or really to say it to yourself, you're not the one who sent me here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me here. This is all part of Hashem's plan. And by the way, Yosef says, it didn't work out so bad. I'm Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. I'm master over all Mitzrayim. I'm saving the world. The opposite of what you would have expected. To have such self-control is a remarkable thing. Rav Shlomo Volbi, the great Mashgiach, tells the story. He says that one time his Rabbi, Rav Yeruchim Levavitz, the Mashgiach of Mir, one time there was a young man in the Beis Medrash who was acting so terribly. He was so upset with his behavior. He was had such a lack of midos tovos that Rav Yeruchim once grabbed him, dragged him out of the Beis Medrash for his misbehavior. He said, you can't be in this Beis Medrash. And yet, Rav Volbi says, and it shows the godliness of Rav Yeruchim, his understanding of human personality. What this person was doing was wrong, and he needed to be punished. He took him out of the Beis Medrash, kicked him out of Yeshiva. And yet years later, Rav Yerucham took that same bachur as a son-in-law to marry his own daughter. And Rav Volbi says, you see, that's how a tzaddik doesn't bear a grudge. A tzaddik doesn't take revenge. A tzaddik looks at a situation with an honest eye. And when the boy needed to be rebuked, he rebuked him. But he didn't bear a grudge. He didn't hold it against him years later. He was able to take that same bachur and improve himself and marry him off to his own daughter. Where does the Torah tell us about the severity of taking revenge? One famous pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. Don't take revenge and don't bear a grudge against your fellow Jew. And what's the end of the pasuk? Who remembers the end of the pasuk? And the contrast is very, I was thinking about it a lot today, it's very important. What's the contrast? Lo sikom v'lo sitor es b'nei amecha. Don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge against your fellow Jew. Two of the 365 negative commandments of the Torah, two separate lo sase, lo sikom, don't take revenge, lo sitor, don't bear a grudge. The Rambam in his mitzvos, in his minyan mitzvos, counts them as lo sase 304 and 305. Sefer Achinuch in his 613 mitzvos counts them as mitzvah 241 and 242. Two separate isurim, two separate prohibitions in the Torah. Lo sikom v'lo sitor. What's the end of the pasuk? V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. The contrast, I think, is very powerful. Meaning the opposite of ahavta l'recha kamocha, of recognizing the connection, the inherent connection a Jew has to his fellow Jew, that really, like the Talmud Yerushalmi says in the Darim, that we're mamish all one person. We're one body. The Yerushalmi gives a very powerful mashal. Yerushalmi says, imagine a person is cutting meat. And he has a knife in his hand, a butcher's knife in his hand. And he's cutting a slab of meat. And the knife slips and he cuts his finger. So says the Talmud Yerushalmi, with the left hand now go and strike the right hand. And hit the left, right hand hits back. Right? And then the mouth says, what are you doing? And it punches him in the face. You're beating yourself up. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, when you take revenge against a fellow Jew, when you act negatively towards a fellow Jew, if you understand that on a spiritual level, like the Baal HaTanya talks about in Parshas Nitzavim, that the Jewish people are all one big body, some people are the head, some people are the arm. Spiritually, we're all from one body. So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to get into a fight with a fellow Jew. It's ridiculous to take revenge. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, if you realize that it's you, then you understand the beginning of the pasuk. Lo sikom, v'lo sitor. How could I bear a grudge? How could I take revenge? Right? To be big like Yosef HaTzadik, who was able to overcome 22 years of really negative feelings, which he could have had, but he didn't have. And he tells the brothers, before they can even talk, don't be afraid. This is all part of Hashem's master plan. I'm not interested in taking revenge. Just to review, what's the definition of lo sikom v'lo sitor, to understand the difference between the two? I'm not going to spend so much time in halacha tonight, exploring the halachos of it, but again, we're working on this aspect from a Bein Adam L'Chavero standpoint. What's lo sikom, what's lo sitor? What's revenge and what's bearing a grudge? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Rashi on the Pasuk quotes the Sifra, the Medrash on Vayikra. Rashi says, lo sikom, amar lo hash'ileni magalcha. Your neighbor comes to you and says, can I borrow your sickle? Can I borrow one of your gardening tools? Amar lo lav? No, not today. I don't feel comfortable lending it to you. Lamachar amar lo, so the next day, in reverse, the neighbor says to him, hash'ileni kardumcha. Let me borrow your hoe, your garden hoe. So he says to him, amar lo, eini mashilcha kederech shel hishaltani. I'm not going to lend you the same way you didn't lend me. You didn't let me borrow, I'm not going to let you borrow. Says Rashi, zohi nakima. Right? That's lo sikom, don't take revenge. Revenge is when you act out the same way you didn't do for me, I'm going to treat you in the same way, with the intention of striking back at you. Ve'ezohi netira, and what's lo sitor, what's bearing a grudge? Rashi says, a person comes to you and says, can I borrow your garden tool? And he says, yes, you can borrow it from me, unlike you who didn't lend it to me. Right? I mean, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to point out, you didn't lend it to me, but I'm better than you, so I'm going to lend it to you. That's bearing a grudge. I'm not acting in the same way you acted, but I'm pointing out that it bothers me the way you treated me, right? And I'm giving this to you in a fashion where I'm, again, where I'm bearing a grudge. And then Rashi says, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, am Rabbi Akiva zeklal gadol b'Torah. So again, the contrast is so strong. If v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is everything, what it means to be a Jew, is that klal gadol b'Torah, the whole Torah, is v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Then the very opposite is a Jew who refuses to do for another Jew. Who says, you didn't do for me, so I'm not going to do for you. It's childish. A person who says, I'm going to do for you, but I'm going to do it in a begrudging fashion. Again, that's very childish. That this lo sase is the very opposite of the klal gadol b'Torah. It's an amazing thing. It's interesting. Again, there's a lot to talk about in halacha, just a little bit. Just to share a little bit. What happens if a person doesn't actually act? Right? Let's say a person just has a feeling of lo sikum and lo sitor, right? A feeling of nekama, a feeling of netira. Person doesn't act on it. Person doesn't actually carry it out, but he thinks it. He thinks a begrudging thought, right? Or he thinks I shouldn't give him just like he didn't give me, even if you actually do give it. So it's interesting. The Achronim, the later poskim, are medayik in the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Sefer Achinoch, the way that they present this mitzvah, and they say that even if one has negative intentions, one is truly in violation of this lo sase. Certainly, even if you want to say, well, it's not technically taking revenge, it's not technically bearing a grudge, even if you'll say it just went through a person's mind and it went through a person's heart and they didn't act on it, even if you disagree with that diuk that some achronim make in the Rambam and Chinuch and Rabbeinu Yonah, the great Rishonim, who talk about this prohibition, but at the very least, if a person has a bad feeling in his heart, even if he doesn't act on it, he doesn't say anything, right? Not like Rashi's example, oh, I'll give you like, even though you didn't give me. A person just thinks it, at the very least, he's in violation of another los asay in the Torah. Very often, when you do one avera, avera goreres avera, means the avera comes along with other averas. The Chavetz Chaim, for example, in Lashon Hara, the Chavetz Chaim says, when you speak Lashon Hara, it's not just one line in the Torah you violated. The Chavetz Chaim puts together 31 possible things you did wrong. Or you spoke badly about a Kohen, that counts for extra penalty. Right? The Chavetz Chaim puts it, oh, you did it this way, you did it that way. The Chavetz Chaim says, there's 31 potential violations, biblical prohibitions that you violate. In addition to three curses, I think he says, right? Three places where the Torah says, Arur if you do this, cursed if you do that. The Chavetz Chaim says, for Lashon Hara. So too here. A person takes revenge against someone else. You know what else you did wrong? Not only did you act upon it, but even if you didn't act upon it, Torah says, Lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha. Don't harbor negative feelings. Don't hate your fellow Jew in your heart. So you can be smiling and you can be carrying out the thing and doing exactly, right? But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's still a lo sase. You still violated my will. And it's something, again, that human beings struggle with a lot. Let's learn a piece of Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, in the 1700s, the Ramchal lived a very short life, 39 years in total. Ramchal was a very big mekubal, wrote one of the most famous musar works of all time, the Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just. And in Perek Yud Aleph, which is a very long perek, where he talks about the details of the Midah of Nekius, he talks about what it means to hate a fellow Jew, and specifically what we're talking about tonight, Nekama. Listen to the words of the Ramchal. Ki asina v'anekima kasha ma'od, l'sheyimaleit v'mena leiv huta l'sher livnei adam. It's very hard for a human heart to conquer this very natural desire to want to, you acted towards me, I'm going to act towards you. Right? I can be very firm about it. Hashem, you do the same thing. Midah k'neged midah. So I'm walking in your ways, God. Midah k'neged midah. My friend was mean to me, so I'm mean to him. Why should that be prohibited? The Ramchal says it's very difficult to escape this thing that traps the human heart. Ki ha'odam margish ma'od be'el benosav u'mitztar tzar gadol. Because when a person is disgraced, a person is mistreated, it hits home. It pains them very deeply. Mitztar tzar gadol. And then the Ramchal says, v'ha'nekama and revenge, ha'nekama lo mituka midvash. Nekama is sweeter than honey. Sweet revenge. Sweet revenge. You want to know where the source for sweet revenge is? It's Mesilas Yesharim Perek Yud Aleph. That revenge is sweeter than honey. When you feel like you could settle the score, it takes the load off. It allows a person to feel that they got even. That's the only thing that causes the person menuchas hanefesh. Unless you're a really big tzaddik, which is what we're going to try to be. So when a person can rise above the teva, the natural order of things, and a person can be over al midosav, can let it slide, it's not easy, v'lo yisna misha heyir bo hasina, and to not take revenge against the one who caused the anger to flare up in your heart, and the hatred to flare up in your heart, v'lo yikom imenu v'zdami lo sheyuchol linakim, and you don't respond with revenge when you could, v'lo yitor lo, and you don't bear a grudge, elas hakol yishkach, but you forget the whole thing, like Yosef, v'yasir milibo ki'il lo haya, and you pretend as if it never happened. Right, but really pretend, or really feel it, to the point that it doesn't bother you. Not that you're pretending that it doesn't, right? But to really not let it affect you anymore. Chazak va'amitzu. That's an unbelievable display of strength. When a Jew can do for another Jew, even though they were wrong, when Rav Yeruchim of Mir could take a son-in-law of a bachur he had to kick out of the Beis Medrash, people remembered it, and yet he did it because he didn't bear a grudge. That's chazak va'amitzu. That takes unbelievable strength. V'ukal rak l'malachei hasharis. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, you know who that's easy for? For angels. For angels, this is an easy thing to do. She'ein b'nei ha'midos halalu, because they don't have a human heart. They don't have these midos. Lo al shochnei batei chomer asher ba'ofer yisodam. Paraphrasing the pasuk in the fourth parak of Eov, not so for man who comes from the dirt, who is made of flesh and blood, who is a physical human being. It's one of the hardest things in the world for a person to have that self-control. And therefore we see that the godless of Yosef HaTzadik, we always think Yosef HaTzadik is our role model in what? In Arayos. When an Ashes Potiphar comes your way and tries to seduce you, to have the inner strength to say, I don't do that. That's unbelievably courageous, and that's Yosef HaTzadik. That's why he's called HaTzadik, because of his sensitivity in areas of sexual morality. But here we learn that Yosef has another unbelievable koach to be able to what? To have the self-control, to not take revenge, to not bear a grudge, and to truly forgive his brothers completely for such a terrible and painful offense that was carried out against him. From the time the brothers arrived, let's learn the sugya a little bit. From the time the brothers arrived, how hard is Yosef working to make sure that they feel comfortable? Now you'll say, what do you mean? Yosef speaks very harshly to them. Yosef is very tough with them. But the truth is, if you look deeply into it, from the time they arrive, Yosef is already, before he reveals himself, going back to Miketz, when they first arrive, Yosef is already displaying his strength to not take revenge. So for example, let's go back to Miketz. In Miketz Perek Membeis, the brothers show up. Yosef recognizes them. They don't recognize him. Vayakir Yosef es Echav. Yosef recognizes his brothers, the Torah highlights. Vehem lo hikiru. And they didn't recognize him because he grew a beard. So Rashi says, what Chazal explained. Says Rashi, quoting the Medrash Agadah, Vayakir Yosef es Echav. Yosef recognized his brothers. Kishenimsru biyadu, from the time they were given over to his hand, hikir shehem Echav. He recognized them as brothers. And what? Says Rashi, and he had Rachmanis aleihem. And he had mercy upon them. Really? Yosef was so tough to them. Yosef gave them a lot of trouble. He gave them quite a scare. Right, where's the achva? Where's the display of achva? So I mentioned last week, it was just recently Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's yard site. Rav Chaim Leib Shmulevitz passed away in 1979, Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. And his famous work called Sichos Musar, in last week's Parsha, Maimer Chafei, he explains this Rashi. What does it mean that Yosef was like a brother to them? He was so tough. From the time they showed up, he scared the heck out of them. He made them crazy, threw them in jail. Right? All of them. Forget, they all went to jail for a little bit. Then Shimon and then Binyan made them nuts. Says the Sichos Musar, what Rashi is revealing to us, the Rachmanis that Yosef had in them from the beginning, is that all of this was just to motivate them, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, to do tshuva. The reason he spoke harshly to them, that they should recognize their sin as they do. They keep saying, oh, look, this is because of what we did. They keep saying, oh, Hashem Manachdu, we're guilty. We're guilty for what we did. V'yashuvu b'tshuva shleima. He's trying to motivate them that they should do tshuva. V'lo mishum nekama chas v'shalom. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, it's not motivated by revenge. And the proof is the way that Yosef acts in all the other scenes. Right? When he reveals himself, he says, don't worry, I'm not taking revenge. As we'll see in this week's parsha, as Yosef again calms their worries. El shemikol makum b'teva ha'dvarim lo yimali milas lavos l'maisa cheshbon kol shush on the kama. You would think that Yosef a little bit would have nekama. Ulam Yosef nizhar ma'od, she'alibo naki mipniyazu. And Yosef was very careful to turn his heart away, even from the slightest bit of revenge. Va'af ki mituka ha'nekama. Quotes the words of the Mesilas Yesharim. Even though revenge is sweet, even though you feel like you can settle the score, ha'yalibo naki miregesh kol shehu shel nekama. Yosef's heart was entirely freed from nekama, and that's the pshat in this Rashi. It says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, v'hinei vadai, Shemiteva advarim ainza pashur klal. Shalo leanos b'matzav kazeh. Can you imagine? Yosef had them. Right? After everything they did to him, he could have really had a good time with them. But he didn't. He wasn't messing around with them. He wasn't playing around with them. He was trying to bring them to tshuva, which they came to. They came to true tshuva. Hashem menachnu. They said, Hashamnu, bagadnu, chatanu, we messed up. They said it multiple times. Look what we did. It worked. And to have such strength, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, again, is kamat superhuman. It's not something that a regular person can do. Like the Mesilas Yesharim said, it's easy for angels. Yosef was mamish an angel in this regard. And then Yosef looks back at the time of the sale. He reflects back. And Yosef says, Vayomer Yosef el Echav, Gishuna Eilai, Vayigashu. Vayomer Ani, this is after he reveals himself, Ani Yosef. He says again, Ani Yosef, Achichem, I'm Yosef, your brother, Asher Machartem Osi Mitzrayim, who you sold to Mitzrayim. The Rachayim HaKadosh asked, why does he have to say Ani Yosef again? He said Ani Yosef, right? He had the big revelation. Ani Yosef, Ahud Avichai. And now again he says, come close. Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, your brother, the one who you sold to Mitzrayim. The Rachayim HaKadosh says he was answering two questions. Number one, if you don't believe me, You should know, I'm the brother Yosef, Asher Machartim Osi Mitzrayim, that I was sold to Mitzrayim. Right? He's proving, using the details of the story, to prove that I must be Yosef. How else could I have known? How else could I know that you sold me to Mitzrayim? Right? So if you think I'm some crazy person who just claimed that I'm Yosef, no, I know the whole story, and we could talk about the details of the story if you need me to prove that I am Yosef. But the Reish Chaim HaKadosh says, the second concern they were asking is, what does Yosef think of us? In this moment, what is Yosef thinking? Again, the look on their face said that Yosef is ready to kill them. He's ready to take revenge. And therefore, Yosef responds to them, no, no, no. Ani Yosef achichem. Peirush, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, misnai gimachem b'midas ha'achva. You're brothers to me. Ki'ilu lo haya davrahu, as if this thing never happened. Don't worry about it. It's all part of God's master plan. I have no reason to take revenge. Gam samach lomer, look what he said. He goes even so far as to say, achichem, I'm your brother, asher machartem. I'm your brother that you sold. You know what that means? Or Chaim says something which is almost impossible to believe. Lomar, she'afilu bezman ha-mecher. That even at the time of the mechira, at the time of the sale, lo kosa ayin ha'ein ha'achva mimeni. I still felt like a brother to you. I didn't harbor bad feelings towards you. I still felt that you were doing, that there was an understanding between us, even at the time you sold me. Can you imagine? Yosef says that, I'm your brother. I'm not just Yosef. I'm Yosef, your brother. And I was your brother at the time of the sale. Achichem, achichem asher machartem osi. The brother you sold. I was a brother at the time of the sale. I didn't harbor negative feelings to you then, and I don't harbor negative feelings to you now. After Yosef says this, he sends a package to his father, a care package to his father. Perek memhei pasachav gibel. Ula'aviv shalach chazos asara chamorim. 10 donkeys carrying the best of Mitzrayim. Yituv Mitzrayim. The Imre Yemes, the Ger Rebbe, used to tell his chassidim, used to review with them a comment of the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal of Prague has it in several places. In the Gvuras Hashem in Perek Yud, the Maharal says, why 10 donkeys? Why did he send Dafka 10 donkeys to his father with two of Mitzrayim, the best of Mitzrayim? The Maharal says, and the Imre Yemes, the Ger Rebbe used to tell the Chassidim, you got to think about this deeply. Yosef was saying to his father, 10 donkeys, can I get 10 brothers? And my brothers acted unknowingly. They didn't realize what they were doing. Right? That's so nice to call your brother a donkey. But he says, the 10 donkeys are connected to 10 brothers. What does that mean? Just like a donkey doesn't have bechira, a donkey doesn't have free will, an animal doesn't think and reason like a normal human being. So my brothers didn't act. He was saying to Yaakov Avinu, these 10 donkeys, Yaakov, if you know what happened, because maybe he did with Ruach HaKodesh, if you know what happened to me, you should just know I don't bear a grudge. And these 10 brothers who acted against me, excluding his youngest brother, Binyamin, these 10 brothers are like 10 donkeys. They didn't act with bechira. It wasn't, I don't bear a grudge. It was part of Hashem's master plan. He sends agalos, he sends wagons. The Shemen Atov of Bernard Weinberger, brother of the elder Rabbi Weinberger of our shul here, in the Shemen Atov in the third volume, on page 65, he quotes from another Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael says, you know what the agala means? He sends the agalos. What are the agalos? What does Rashi say? The last thing they learned together was the sugya of Egla Arufa. Says the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe says, you know why he reminded him about Egla Arufa? What happens with the Egla Arufa? When do you bring an Egla Arufa? If a body is found, a dead body is found between two cities, and we don't know who's responsible for the murder, right? A chalal, a dead body, hanimtza ba'adama lo noda mi'ika, we don't know who struck down this person. We don't know who's responsible for this. So Yaakov was receiving a message from his son Yosef. Yosef was saying to Yaakov Avinu, you should just know Egla Arufa. I don't know who's responsible for this. I can't blame anyone. The same way Egla Arufa, we don't have a murderer, we don't have a killer, we don't have anyone to blame. This is Egla Arufa. I don't know who's responsible here. Only thing I know is this was part of Hashem's master plan. And that's all I can say. That's all I know about this situation. It's unbelievable, over and over again, Yosef, every move he makes, the ways, what he sent to his father, and the wagons that he sent to his father, and the things he says to his brother, every single bit of it expresses, I'm not taking revenge. I'm not angry at you, and I'm not taking revenge. Certainly there's a stream of thought in Chazal that Yaakov knew what was going on the whole time. Yaakov knew exactly what happened to Yosef the whole time. But there's also a push-up shot, which makes it sound like Yaakov didn't have a clue what had happened. He didn't know where Yosef was. He was shocked when Yosef returned. And did he ever find out what happened? Did Yaakov ever find out what his brothers, what his sons did to their brother Yosef? Did Yaakov ever find out? Like when they finally had that big family reunion, when Yaakov comes to his family, oh, Yosef, so how did you... That's so funny because they brought me your coat. I thought you were dead. How did you end up in Mitzrayim? How did this whole thing happen? Did they ever have that conversation? What do you think? The Ramban says, shockingly, in Perek Memhei, Pasuk Chav Zayin, The Ramban says they never had that conversation. Yir Ali al derech hapshat. The Ramban says b'derech hapshat shelo hugad li Yaakov kol yamav ki achiv machiras Yosef. That Yaakov never found out. One of the reasons, perhaps, the Yaakov, some Rishonim say, lived in Goshen. Apart, Yosef was living in the royal palace, and the rest of the Jews were living in Goshen. It was far away from each other that they wouldn't get together. From the time Yaakov and Yosef gave each other that hug, they stayed mostly apart. Yosef didn't want to have that conversation. Such sensitivity to protect his brothers. No bit of revenge, not the slightest bit, like Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, not the slightest bit of revenge. So how does a person do that? How do you become like a malach in this way? How does a person become superhuman? The Ramchal says it's a human tendency, and it's sweet. Sweet revenge. Mesuka midvash, sweeter than honey, the Ramchal says. So how does a person overcome? And I think the answer is, as we've seen in the opening words of Yosef HaTzadik, Hashem sent me, not you. When I realize that it's all a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the person who wronged me is not the person who wronged me, but it's all, this person's a shliach Hashem. The fact that they did something wrong, that's Hashem's calculation. Hashem will deal with them. But as far as on the receiving end, what they did to me, I have to see them as a shliach Hashem. Not as a human being with free choice. I know human beings have free choice. But the way that we look at it, when a person harms us, we have to say, this is part of the master plan. It couldn't have happened without Hashem signing off on it. And that's how we respond. And that's what Yosef says. Yosef says, Hashem sent me, not you. The truth is the beginning of Klal Yisrael's collective experience. Where does it begin? The very first thing that a Jew ever heard. Lech lecha me'artzecha. I want to review a drasha that I gave on Shabbos. Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshanai and Zayin, 2 years ago. When Avram Avinu hears the words Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu is told, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. Avram is told, go. What was the nisayon? Was the nisayon that he had to leave home? That was hard. To leave his family, to leave his homeland, to leave his comfort zone. Was it hard that he wasn't going to know what he's going to do for Parnassah? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going to take care and provide for you. What was the hardest part of the nisayon? So many say the hardest part of the nisayon was that Avram, even if he wanted to listen, didn't know how to listen. Because what did Hashem tell him? Just go. Where are we going? Just go. Start going. Which direction? Just go. Lech lecha. Just go. Hashem, I don't know. I want to do your will. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know where I'm going. The Rishonim explain, and the early Achronim explain, that Avram's Nisayon was, he had no clue where he was going. But he went as a Shliach Hashem. The Rechaim HaKadosh writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bracha zu v'avarcha mevarchecha. I'm going to bless you, Hashem says to Avram. You know why? Bracha zu k'neged ma'asha helim mimenu ha'aretz. That Hashem hid from him what land he's going to. You know how hard that is to just pick up and start going? No sense if you're moving in the right direction or not. V'lo'odiyu kodem l'tzeiso. Hashem didn't tell him before he left where he's heading. V'nisayon ze godol hu. She'yotza me'artzo el asada. That he just walked out of his front door, packed his bags, hit the road. Mi bleed das on yifana. No clue where he's going. Where am I going? V'hu lo hir lizeh. And he didn't ask questions. He just went. The same way that Yosef, when he's on that caravan, as Rashi tells, it's a silly Rashi. You read this Rashi, what? He's on the caravan, and what does Rashi say? It smells good. Usually, Yishma'elim are carrying foul-smelling spices, and petroleum, and gases, and today, it's Yosef's lucky day. They happen to be carrying what? Sweet-smelling spices. Yeah? I always give the mashal. It's like a person who's on an airplane, God forbid. Not God forbid to be on an airplane, but God forbid what's about to happen. And the airplane starts to crash. The airplane's going down. The pilot gets on the radio and says, you know, the plane's going down. But for the duty-free cart that was just in the aisle a few minutes ago, which you were too cheap, you were a cheap Jew, you didn't buy anything, right? Now you can help yourself to any of those free bottles of perfume. Free perfume on the way down. Yosef's going down to Mitzrayim, right? Crash and burn. And, but it smells nice. You know, it comes with a free car, you know, air freshener thing. They hang on the mirror. Shgayach, wow, free perks on the way to Mitzrayim. What's the pshat? You know what the pshat is? The pshat is that Yosef noticed that. The pshat is that Yosef, it smells good. I guess this is also, everything is gamzu atova. It's all for the, look, even the Yad Hashem is being sold. Yosef was able to travel with Hashem. He didn't get frustrated. He was able to see this is all part of Hashem's master plan. I have no idea where I'm going. But you didn't send. But he says to his brothers, you didn't send me. When it's all said and done, you didn't send me. Hashem sent me. I saw it from the second I got on that caravan. It was all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. We get confused. We get frustrated. We don't know where we're going. Someone wrongs us. We take it out on them. We don't realize that everything that's happening in our life sounds a little gaivetic, but it's true. Chayav adam lomar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. The whole world revolves around me. Anything that anyone else did to me, it's from my personal story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating b'ashkacha pratis. It's all being controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to share an amazing story that I shared in that drasha a couple years ago about my grandfather, about my mother's father. My grandfather, he should live and be well, lives nearby here in Teaneck. He was a second lieutenant navigator of an airplane during World War II for the American Army. And in 1945, he was, along with nine other men, he boarded his four-engine B-24 plane, and he took off from Foggia, Italy, to try to bomb German factories where they were making ammunition, where they were making weapons for the Germans. So he describes he's flying in this airplane, it's 20,000 feet up, 4 miles above the ground, trying to get to the location to bomb these factories. They reach the target location, they're about to drop their bombs, and all of a sudden, they're struck from below by anti-aircraft fire. And the engine's blown out, and the plane's compromised, the safety of the plane is compromised. They're trying to figure out what to do. He said shortly thereafter, they saw that enemy planes are in the sky trying to shoot them down. They had no choice. At that point, there's only one thing to do. You got to jump. Parachutes on. They jump out of the airplane. Who knows what happens to the plane? The men jump out. Right, land in an open field, thank God. And they're taken. They're taken as POWs. Baruch Hashem, relatively speaking, my grandfather's experience as a POW during the war was relatively decent. As good as a POW can be. The Germans were too busy. 1945, they're too busy at that point to deal with American POWs. But you can imagine, here's a person fighting against evil, trying to do what's right for the betterment of the world, for society at large, right? Reaches the destination. He knows where he's going. He reaches the destination, about to drop the bombs, and that's it, shot out of the sky, taken into captivity, unsure of his fate. You can imagine, a person probably has a lot of questions in that moment. Yeah. Trust me, as far as getting revenge on the Germans, we should be zochet to get a lot of revenge on the Germans. You can say amen to that, Papa. That's a good thing. A little over a year ago, my aunt, married to my mother's brother, her mother passed away. Not my grandmother, my cousin's grandmother. She was a Holocaust survivor, a person who was in Auschwitz and Birkenau for about 6 months. Her name was Mima Lily, we called her Mima Lily. Full Hebrew name is Leah Bas Shmuel Shmelka, Olav Shalom. And she, during her time in Auschwitz, as she was spent time in the war, she was forced by the German army being held to work in a factory, preparing ammunition for the Germans. My grandfather, many years ago, and she sat there. She described the experience. My aunt told me she described the experience when they would hear planes flying overhead, dropping bombs. They would duck down. She said it was totally irrational. They would duck down behind. They were building these big bombs, and they would duck down behind these, you know, these huge things, which if they were hit by a bomb would explode. But you know, you're just trying to get behind something big when you hear planes overhead. Anyways, she survived the war, and my grandfather many years later was on a bus in New Jersey, in Princeton, New Jersey. And he's on a bus, and he strikes up a conversation. He hears a woman talking with an accent, and he starts talking to this woman. He says, "Where are you from?" And she starts talking, and she says, "Oh, I'm from a place called Salzwedel. I'm sure you never heard of it." The grandfather says, "Never heard of it? That was the name of the place that I was sent during the war to bomb. Of course I heard of Salzwedel." Imagine that made for an awkward conversation on the bus. I was trying to blow up your hometown. Okay. Anyway, so he said, my grandfather's telling me the whole story. I was in the American Army, and I was flying, and I was shot out of the sky. And so, by chance, my grandfather, for the first time in his whole life, tells my aunt and uncle this story. I met this woman on the bus, and she's from Salzwedel. That's where I was sent during the war to bomb the munitions factory. So my aunt hears it, says, "Salzwedel?" Says, "That's where my mother was during the war. That's where my mother was working to create weapons for the Germans. Being marched from Auschwitz every day to Salzwedel to prepare weapons for the Germans, Yimach Shemam." And for the first time, all of a sudden, the whole story came clear. That my grandfather failed in his mission so that one day that woman who was down below, a Jewish woman who was being held against her will by the Germans, building, preparing bombs or building all sorts of weaponry for the Germans, Yimach Shemam, right, that she would be able to survive the war. And that one day, that American pilot, that airplane American soldier, would be able to marry off his son to the daughter of that woman who survived that bombing. Can you imagine? Amazing story. Years later, my uncle and aunt had been married for years before the story finally emerged. It's unbelievable. You see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of a sudden, all the pieces start to make sense. And when you realize that when a person is sent and not stuck in a particular place, that Yosef HaTzadik said, "I didn't get stuck in Mitzrayim. I was sent to Mitzrayim, and not by my brothers. I was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was here for a reason, and I'm not angry, and I'm not going to take revenge." Again, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't take revenge against the Germans, Yimach Shemam. They deserve a lot for what they did to Klal Yisrael. But in terms of looking at our fellow Jews who sometimes anger us or upset us or get into a fight with us, to be able to look at the situation and say, it's not that person. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu working behind the scenes by Hashkacha Pratis. And that's how Yosef saw everything. From beginning to end, Yosef said, it's all you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not looking to take revenge. I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. The Sefer HaChinuch that I mentioned earlier, when he writes about this mitzvah of not taking revenge, the Sefer HaChinuch explains, as he always does, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. You know what this mitzvah is about? Sheyeda Adam V'yitein Alibo Ki Kol Asher Yikro Mitov Adro. Whatever happens to you, good or bad. You know why the Torah says don't take revenge? Sefer HaChinuch says, because everything that happens to you, Hushiba Shetavo Elav Me'es Hashem Baruch Hu. The reason it happened to you is because Hashem wanted it to happen to you. Why are you angry at your neighbor? It's not your neighbor. Hashem wanted you to have a difficulty. Why? I don't know. Let's see. The way one Jew treats another Jew is not that person's behavior, but the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam, when someone harms you or pains you, so you should know deeply in your soul, Hashem is punishing you for your behavior. It's an Aveira. You did an Aveira, and your punishment is such. And Hashem decreed that you should have to suffer in that way. So don't focus on the person who wronged you. So he's not the cause of your difficulty. It was your sin which caused this to be. And he brings the example of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, who we'll read about in this week's Haftorah, we'll have to contrast it a little bit. But David HaMelech, when he's cursed by Shimi ben Gera in Shmuel Beis in Parak Tes Zayin, and everyone's ready to kill, they're ready to rip Shimi ben Gera's head off. And David HaMelech says, whoa, hinichulo, leave him alone. V'kalel ki amar lo Hashem. He cursed because Hashem told him to. He cursed ki amar lo Hashem because Hashem sent him as a shliach. We'll read in this week's Haftorah that David eventually will take revenge through his son Shlomo after he passes away. We'll talk about that if we have time in a couple of minutes. But David HaMelech understood, don't get upset at him. He's a shliach of Hashem. David says, I'm imperfect. And my tzaras are my own problem. It's not anyone else's problem. When a person has a mature understanding, there's no reason to take revenge. The Ger Tzedek of Vilna. The Ger Tzedek of Vilna was a remarkable individual. Converted, left his position. He was a person of nobility. And he left it all to become a Jew. And there's a lot of different versions of the story exactly. Soloveitchik used to tell this story in a very inspiring way. But one part of the story eventually is that the Ger Tzedek was informed upon for his conversion, and he was told he has to either convert back to Christianity or be burnt at the stake. And he chose to die al Kiddush Hashem. And the story is about the Vilna Gaon went to visit him, and he was mechazek him. Amazing, amazing story. The Ger Tzedek said to his informer, after he was caught, and he encountered his informer, the one who got him in trouble, the one who would eventually cause him to lose his life. And he said, do you think I'm going to take revenge upon you in the next world? I know that's what you're thinking. You're thinking that if I believe that I have a Jewish God, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to come back. I'm going to find a way to get you back. He says, trust me, I'm not going to do anything like that. And he gave a mashal. He said, it's like a young person who's playing on the beach and makes a sandcastle. Yeah? Imagine this young person playing on the beach is the prince, the son of the king. And someone comes and he kicks down his sandcastle. Yeah? Someone comes and kicks down his sandcastle. So he comes crying to his father and he says, Daddy, this person destroyed my sandcastle. His father says, okay, it happens. So this prince says, when I'm the king, I'm going to get him back. He destroyed my castle, I'm going to get him back one day. When I become the king, am I going to get him back for kicking down my sandcastle? He said, of course, that when the prince became the king, that's when I waste my time on getting revenge on someone who kicked over my sandcastle. It's petty, it's nothing. Compared to the things a king really has to deal with, who cares about that? So the Ger Tzedek of Vilna said to his informer, would eventually lead him to his death, to die al-Kiddush Hashem, he said, you think I'm going to come back in the next world to get you back? In this world, it seems like you harm me in a terrible way. When I'm in the next world, this is child's play. This is nothing. Imagine to be able to say such a thing. But to understand that everything that happens to a person in this world is nothing other than the Yad Hashem. I want to just end because we need to connect it to this week's Haftorah, because this week's Haftorah is of a totally different nature. Like everything in Yiddishkeit, there's always a balance. Nekama has to have a place. Everything has a place. Where does Nekama have a place? Where is there a good type of revenge that it's appropriate to take? David HaMelech in this week's Haftorah, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, just like the Pasuk says, Yaakov is about to die. So the Haftorah, obviously corresponding to the Parsha, Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamus. David is also coming to his end. Just like Yaakov in the Parsha is coming to his end. Where is there a good type of revenge? Where is it appropriate? And David's final message, as he's telling his son, be strong in Torah and take care of the people who help me and take revenge against Shimi ben Gera. I thought, David HaMelech, you're the one who said when Shimi cursed you, don't take revenge. Don't bother with him. It's all the Yad Hashem. But obviously there's a good type of revenge, there's an appropriate type of revenge, so much so that David HaMelech on his deathbed is planning for revenge against Shimi ben Gera, who cursed him after his death. The Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham, who's wronged, has to be able to take a little revenge. Has to know how to stand up for himself. A Talmid Chacham has to be nokim v'noter. Talmid Chacham has a little bit, has to be able to take revenge. Because if the Rav of the Shul is going to get pushed around by the Baal HaBatim, then they're not going to have a Shul. You're not going to have a leader. Well, a person of leadership has to know how to take revenge. Not all tzaddikim did that. I saw once in a Sefer Shem and Rosh, volume on Lag BaOmer and Shavuos, he tells a story about Rav Meir Maris. Meir Maris was a Rav in Kobrin, in Belarus. And they said to him, Rav Meir, you're always mavater. You know, people sometimes give you a hard time and you always let it slide. You're a Talmid Chacham, you should stand up for yourself. So Rav Meir Maris said, here's my svar. When I get to the Olam HaEmes, right? And they say, why didn't you take revenge? I mean, let's say I do take revenge. Let's say I do fight back. So if I'm not mavater all the time. So I'm going to get to the Olam HaEmes, and I'm going to say, Rav Meir, why did you take revenge? So he's going to say, why did I take revenge? Because I'm a Talmid Chacham. He said, when I say I'm a Talmid Chacham, the angels are going to start cracking up. This guy's a Talmid Chacham. He thinks he's a Talmid Chacham. They're going to be laughing at me in Shemayim. He says, I'd rather not take revenge. I get to the Olam HaEmes, and they say, Nu, why didn't you take your revenge? You're a Talmid Chacham. So I'll say, I didn't know I was a Talmid Chacham. How was I supposed to know I'm a Talmid Chacham? They're much greater Talmid Chacham. So some tzaddikim are very gentle. Right? But a Talmid Chacham has a right to take a little bit of revenge. Right? Pinchas takes revenge. Pinchas, the Torah describes, Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aaron, a Kohen. As the Mefarshim point out, he comes from a great lover, Aaron, a Kohen. That's why he's able to take revenge. He takes revenge on behalf of Kadosh. But Kanoas kinasi besocham. He takes revenge for Kadosh Baruch. He's a person of vengeance. He takes revenge for Kadosh Baruch. That's appropriate. He's given a big bracha for that. So obviously, you see in Torah, there's an appropriate time for a person to take revenge. When David HaMelech takes revenge against Shimi ben Gera in this week's Haftorah, David HaMelech is not acting with a personal negia or netiyah. And again, we return one last time to the Sichos Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Maimer Chav Zayin, this week's Parsha, in Haftorah. He says, David HaMelech, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, didn't have a Yeser Hara. It's not personal. David HaMelech did it for Kvod Shemayim. Pinchas did it for Kvod Shemayim. The Torah gives permission to a tzaddik, in the words of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, when a tzaddik takes revenge, it's a holy revenge. Who mitzui cheshbon hatzedek ba'olam, it restores the score. It shows that this world is not hefker, that someone's keeping track of things. And if a tzaddik can do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for himself, without any personal netiyah or negiyah, then a person could take revenge. We return to Yosef HaTzaddik one final time. With this, we conclude in this week's parsha. Yosef HaTzaddik, in a final display of unbelievable strength, he says to his brothers, when the brothers come back from Yaakov's funeral, and they say, Yosef was real sweet when he revealed himself. But now Yaakov's out of the way. Now Yosef's really going to get revenge. Now that Yaakov is dead, Yosef's going to strike back. And they come to Yosef and say, our father told us that we should make peace, which was a lie, according to most. Our father told us we should be good to each other. And Yosef says, what are you worried about? And they fall before him, and they go, we'll be your servants. They're scared Yosef's going to mamish kill them. And Yosef says, again, in a final display of unbelievable, ben adam lachaver, and tremendous strength, al tira'u, don't be afraid, ki atachas elokim ani. Am I in place of God? I leave this court. Let God decide what you guys deserve. What happens to you for what you did. It's not me. Va'atem chashavtem alai ra'a, elokim chashav letova. What you intended for bad, Hashem turned it into something good. I became a leader in Mitzrayim, and you should just know, va'ata, al tiro anochi akalkel etchem. Don't be afraid, I'm going to support you. Ve'astapchem, and your children. Ve'yinachim osam, and he comforted them. Ve'yidabri alibam, and he spoke to their heart. Because like we said earlier from the Talmud Yerushalmi, when you realize that we're all just one people, and you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the master plan, like the Sefer HaChinuch taught us, then a person says, it's not, leave the person alone. Don't start up with the person. Be good to other people. Be kind to other people. Don't worry about how they treated you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will settle the score. Yes, occasionally we find tzaddikim, like David HaMelech, like Pinchas, doing something, some type of vengeance on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ke'el nekamos Hashem. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Gimel says, Hashem takes revenge. Revenge is a holy thing. Right? But not for us. Maybe for the biggest tzaddikim, we have no Yetzahara, like the Gemara says about David HaMelech. For people like ourselves, we have to be gentle people, to be kind people, and to try to do good to our fellow Jews. And Amir Tzah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will do good to us as well. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And Amir Tzah Hashem will continue next week. With Hashem's help. Shkayach.